Christ is calling, for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the ocean in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail, with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. Once again, may I say a very pleasant greeting and a hearty welcome to all who are tuned to radio station XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast with your speaker, Willie Murphy, coming to you once again for another of our weekly visits, which we have each Friday night. Listen now to the scriptures found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. I quote, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is indeed a wonderful thought for us to think about at this season of the year, and to remember that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Listen now to this poem entitled "Christmas" by Nahum Tate. "While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born, of David's line, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swathing bands, and in a manger laid. Thus spake the seraph, and forthwith appeared a shining throng of angels praising God, and thus addressed their joyful song. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace, goodwill henceforth from heaven to men, begin and never cease. Indeed, I for one am glad that God sent a Savior to the world, for it is through him that we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. And without him, there is no salvation. One of the things most encouraging about this scripture in Matthew 1:21 is the fact that he says here that he shall save his people from their sins. This scripture does not say that he will save his people in their sins, but it says that he shall save his people from their sins. By this I understand that the plan of redemption provides that one should be delivered from his sins, and no longer does he live therein. We're often made to wonder if Christ did not come in vain, or as the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:21, For if the righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, this does not mean that the work of Christ was not complete, but it does mean that some, because of their self-righteousness, or because they do not accept the atonement of Christ as a Savior for their sins, cause the atonement to be made in vain. There's one thing present which is rather predominant in the life of a child of God. This is the joy he finds when his sins are forgiven. Satisfaction and happiness immediately belong to him. He is no longer under the condemnation and weight of his sins, but they have been lifted, and he has found a lasting peace and contentment. In fact, all things suddenly become new to him. He comes to the realization that he is in a different family. This is the family of God. His outlook on life is different. The things he once hated, he now loves, and the things which he once thought were so attractive and he was attracted to them by their allurement, he no longer is bound by their binding influences. Evil habits of life, which were once so powerful, are suddenly burst asunder, and he finds himself a new creature in Christ. On the other hand, there are some for whom Christ died in vain. This is because they are unwilling to accept his plan for their escape from the wrath of God. Now, take for example the incident recorded in Genesis chapter 18 when the angels of the Lord were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Before they carried out their commission to destroy these wicked cities, they stopped by for a visit with Abraham. Abraham feared God, and because of his integrity, the angels revealed their intention to him before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice how Abraham stood as an intercessor in verses 23 and 24. I quote, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous in the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" Then Abraham finished off his urgent plea for the welfare and safety of his loved ones who yet remained in these wicked cities. Look again at this quotation in verse 25. "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" No doubt this last statement found its way home and brought about the desired results. For we see in verse 26, "And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Now, it seems that Abraham should have been satisfied with this guarantee. But no doubt as he began to enumerate the ones he could think of who might pass as righteous men and women, he failed to think of enough to bring about the total count to 50. He then again made his plea with this question, "Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? To this he also received a favorable reply, but he continued to make intercession for the city, each time lowering the required number of righteous people to be found there. Abraham then continued to drop this number of righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah to 40 and 30 and then 20, if this many could be found dwelling in this wicked city. Listen to his final plea as he mentioned in verse 32. "And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake." We remember that God failed to find 10 righteous people in Sodom, but to those who yet remained there, he gave opportunity for them to escape before the destruction of this wicked city. No doubt Abraham is responsible to a great extent in saving the lives of Lot and his daughters. We would like to share some letters with you from those who listen or read the printed copies of the Mission Trail. Go right ahead with the letters, Francis.
The letter exchange from Missouri. Dear ones in the Lord, we have been very slow in putting our thoughts into words, but please forgive us. I think several times I have told you how we do appreciate your messages through the mail and of my intentions to write you about it. The little news items are also interesting, and the drawings were a pleasant surprise, too. Keep the good messages coming. They are soul food to us, and we pray they will reach many honest souls over the air. Enclosed is a little offering to help in the work. From California, Dear Brother Murphy and family, we were so glad to get the mission trail this week. We missed getting several, I suppose, because you didn't have our new address. They are so encouraging. How I wish we could hear them also. We are ever striving to work and live for the Lord that souls might be saved because of us. We are willing to and ready to stand in the gap. Keep us on your prayer list. We are praying for you. From California, I have been receiving your paper for a few weeks, and I surely enjoy it so immensely that I just look forward to the next one. This is all we have for today.
Thank you, Francis. And then we have another visitor with us here today that we're very glad to put on the microphone. Here is Sister Florence Sisk of Enid, Oklahoma.
Hello, saints everywhere, and I certainly do appreciate the prayers of the saints everywhere and what the Lord has done for me.
And now, at this Christmas season, for any who may be troubled or distressed or in need anywhere, listen to this called the Christmas Prayer. O Lord, there set apart in lonely places, on this the gladdest night of all the year, some stricken ones with sad and weary faces, to whom the thought of Christmas brings no cheer. For these, O Father, our petition hear, and send the pitying Christ child very near. And there be tempted souls this night, still waging such desperate warfare with all evil powers. Anthems of peace, while the dead strife is raging, sound but a mockery through their midnight hours. For these, O Father, our petition hear, and send thy tempted, sinless Christ child very near. Lord, some sit by lonely hearthsides, sobbing, who feel this night all earthly love denied, who hear but dirges in the loud bells throbbing for loved ones lost who blessed last Christmas time. For these, O Father, our petition hear, and send the loving Christ child very near.
Jesus, bless, redeem.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy of today's message, you may have one free of charge by sending us your request. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy saying, may the very best of the Christmas season be yours, and a very pleasant good night.